Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Jaden Daniels, end zone, it is! Caught for the touchdown! Zach Ertz takes Washington into the playoffs!
Who's better than Mike Tirico?
Nobody!
Grant and Danny on the fan, Linnell's in today. As the Commanders and the rest of the teams in town are trying to build a foundation for success on and off the field, the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kanori & Murad, it's going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family, square away your future. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They're going to take good care of you. You can watch the show on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page all the way up to 6:30. You can listen wherever you're going on the Odyssey app. Take us with you into the grocery store, whatever you got going on as you knock some things off the to-do list. Or, of course, just listening on 106.7 The Fan's flagship as you drive around or you're at home on your smart device. However you're checking us out, we appreciate it. We've had a huge show already celebrating a playoff berth. You've heard from left tackle Brandon Coleman, cornerback Noah Igbinoghene, and wide receiver Jamison Crowder. Austin Eckler stops by in 1 hour at 6 o'clock. But right now, on the guest hotline, we welcome onto the show the former head coach here in D.C.
My hero.
Who took this team to the playoffs in 2015, Jay Gruden. Jay, welcome back on G&D. What's going on?
What's going on, Jay?
Not a whole lot, man. It was a hell of a win last night. It's fun to watch. This team is never a dull moment, that's for sure.
Oh, it was an awesome victory, no doubt about it. A lot to get to, but let's just start with Daniels. I'll let you paint with a broad brush first. What'd you think?
I thought he was incredible. You know, the first half, they had some struggles with penalties and sacks, got in some long yardage situations, and, you know, only had 7 points at the half, and things could have unraveled a little bit. But like Jaden Daniels has done, he just kept his poise and stuck with the plan and made some plays when he had to. When plays weren't there, he made them. When they were there, he made them. He just continues to, you know, just show the world that he's one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League and will be for a very long time.
Jay, one thing that I continue to be impressed with, especially now that Washington's had some injuries at the wide receiver position, is how Cliff Kingsbury continues to scheme open the most jag of wide receivers in the NFL. It's no disrespect to Zacchaeus, Crowder, and those guys, but his ability to scheme them open has been super impressive. What changes have you seen them make here kind of post-bye week to kind of get the other guys, so to speak, involved more?
He utilizes their formation as well as personnel grouping as well. Does some good things down the field to get some spacing, which is very important. You know, it's very hard to play tight man-to-man against Washington because of the ability of Jaden to run. Unless you have a spy out there, then you can only rush three guys, or maybe you have to take away your whole play or something like that to spy Jaden, and that opens up lanes as well. Just Jaden puts a lot of pressure on defensive coordinators. You want to play eyeballs on the quarterback, then Cliff Kingsbury dials up good zone beaters. If he wants to play man-to-man, Jaden can hurt you with his legs. So I think both Cliff and Jaden have an answer for what the defenses are trying to do. So hats off to both of them.
What do you make as a play caller and just a guy watching games, you know, who designs offense, of the hero ball that Daniels can play where, you know, on that final drive, I don't have a better way to describe it. It's just like high school football. Like, he just becomes an athlete, and he's like, I'm just going to run a lot. I mean, it was 6 for 42. There were a couple design runs, but it was mostly just scrambles where he just decided he was hell-bent on leaving the pocket. He ran 16 times for 127 in the game. Like, what did you make of him just kind of going, this is how I'm going to do it?
I've just been impressed with the decisions he makes. When it's time to run, he runs. If nobody's open, if Cliff didn't design a good enough player, guys weren't able to uncover or find the open zones or get open in man-to-man, Jaden makes a great decision to run it, and it's a productive play. It's just been unbelievable when you just put the tape on. It's like he doesn't make any bad decisions. If the throw's there, he throws it. If it's not there, he'll tuck it and run it and make a positive play out of something. You know, they got in trouble in the first half because of the holding calls and about two or three blown protections. Caught him in long yardage situations. But when he's dropping back the pass, the play's there, it's going to be there. He's going to throw it. If not, if somebody's a free runner or, you know, it's not there, he buys time with his legs, tries to find somebody, and then he'll run it and make a positive play out of nothing. So he's just an incredible player.
Jay, one of the things that concerned me going in, no De'Ami Brown, so you kind of lose another guy that can help you create explosives in the pass game, and we know how important that is when you're trying to move the football and score points routinely. Washington, though, Jay, in that third quarter, possessed the football. It was almost the entirety of the quarter. It was 14 minutes and 50 seconds, I believe. With them playing that way, like, do you think that is a sustainable brand of football, trying to crank out these 13, 14 play drives? Because it really only takes one mistake before you're behind the eight ball and now you need a Superman play. What did you think of their ability to possess the football?
Well, when you don't have penalties, you don't have negative plays, they have the ability to do that. In the first half, they tried to do that, but they had the negative plays and the penalties that put them in long yardage situations that it's almost impossible to convert. But when they don't have the penalties and they stay in second and five, third and three, this is a hard team to stop because of Jaden's ability to do the quarterback design runs, the RPOs, the zone reads, the play passes, and then his ability to run for positive plays when he's in a drop back passing mode. So, yeah, I mean, as long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot, this is a hard team to stop, and they can maintain that. You know, it's obviously very difficult to do. I think they're eventually going to have to make some explosive somewhere. Got to get Terry back going, get some big plays down the field, maybe a tight end leak play down the sideline, something. They need a chunk play here and there. Very hard to maintain this for four quarters of football to have 12, 15 play drives all the time. But if anybody can do it, they can do it because of Jade's ability to run and make plays on critical situations, third and fourth down.
Jay Gruden is with us on Grant and Danny. They did make the playoffs in 2020, but that was the season where there was no crowd in the stands. They were a 7-win team that won a horrendous division. So for all intents and purposes for me, it's really the first legitimate playoff season since you were coaching in 2015. You know, what do you remember about that stretch? You guys didn't get to clinch at home. You had that primetime game against the Eagles I think it was a Saturday night where Kirk threw for 360 and four touchdowns where you clinched. And then you obviously went to a home playoff game, went in the division, and you were up 11-0, I think it was, on Green Bay. Could have been more if Deshaun would have had some urgency to get into the end zone, but he really didn't want to. But what do you remember about kind of that whole sequence?
Well, I know we had a lot of ups and downs in that season. We started out pretty poorly, then obviously the big win, the Code Red game against Tampa Bay, kind of got our season going, and Kirk's confidence boosted into high level. Then he started playing extremely well, and we were hitting pretty good on offense. Defense started to play a little bit better. Then, you know, the Philadelphia game was just a wild game. About that end of half situation was a nightmare, and then trying to defuse all the problems at halftime was another situation worth a book writing episode maybe. But and then obviously the Green Bay game was very disappointing. I thought that was the most electric the stadium was since I was a coach there. It was a great environment, fans were going crazy, we just got out to a great lead, and then fizzled out a little bit. Aaron Rodgers made some plays, got a hard count, got a free play, got a first down, and then they scored. But it was a great season, I think, for Kirk and some of the younger players. It just showed that they had the ability to compete with the best.
The halftime thing you're referencing, that's got to be when Cousins, like, took the knee.
Oh, my God.
Because one of your receivers refused to run a route or something, right?
Yeah. And then, it was a hectic locker room. You know, it was a lot of yelling and screaming and pushing and shoving and trying to get everybody back into the frame of mind. Hey, we got another half to play. We got a division to win here, fellas. That was quite dramatic. But I can remember sitting next to Sean McVay on the plane on the way home, and we were all happy. We're in our NFC East championship pass, but we looked at each other like, what the hell just happened? That was a fiasco. But we got it done somehow.
That's hilarious. Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So, Jay, what about I want to get into playoff permutations and things in a few minutes. But what about their natural running game? And does it matter with Jaden running the way that he is, going for a 127, you know, putting the team on his back? They, over the last 6 weeks, really the Titans game is the only time in terms of the traditional, like, Brian Robinson thumping between the tackles operation that they've actually run the ball effectively.
Yeah, that's a concern. That is, and, you know, the lack of other weapons outside of Terry moving forward. You know, obviously Jaden makes up for a lot of that with his ability to keep plays alive and rush for yards. But I think moving forward, I'd love to see him play Dallas this week and try to really reestablish some physicality up front, try to get the running game going so we have some positivity and some confidence going into that phase into the playoffs, because they're going to need it. You know, we can't just run around and hope Jaden scrambles for first. He probably can, but you'd like to have some kind of help and some kind of time where Jaden can just turn around and hand the ball off stress-free and gain 4 or 5 yards. That's going to be important. Now, when it's time for Jaden to make a play, he'll be fresh and ready to go. But, they need to get a boost from the running game. Hopefully they'll get one against Dallas this weekend.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Run defense has also been a major problem for this group, Jay. In the first half, Bijan Robinson looked like Herschel Walker, making people miss left and right. It was awesome to see. It felt like it's 4 and 5 yards before contact. With Washington's game plan, the way that they've tried to defend it the last 2 weeks is loading up the box, but it's putting these corners in really compromising, you know, circumstances and positions. Kenny Pickett couldn't beat you with his right arm. Mike Penix couldn't beat you with his left arm. When they get into the postseason, does that concern you, how they're going to choose to defend teams? Because it feels like right now they're kind of making you pick one or the other.
Yeah, that's a big concern moving forward, without a doubt. I hope Marshawn Lattimore gets back because he can match up with the likes of a A.J. Brown or maybe a Puka Nacua on the outside if they have to play the Rams. They're going to need somebody that can play corner, that can match up against the superstars, because they're going to have to stop the run. You know, the Rams run the ball extremely well. Kyron Williams, you think about Stafford and Puka, but really their last 3 or 4 games, they've been pounding the ball between the tackles. And in order to stop that, you have to load up the box a little bit and put your corners at jeopardy. So Lattimore's presence will help it. If he's not there, you know, they've had to deal with him, you know, the first 12 or 13 games. And you're right, it is a pick your poison type of thing. The corners are going to have to step up. St. Juice and the rest of the guys are going to have to step up and make some plays, obviously, because they have trouble stopping run. But in fairness to them, Saquon had a really good first half. They shut him down in the second half, and Bijan had a really good first half, but they really shut him down the second half. So they made the necessary adjustments, but eventually they're going to have to rely on their corners and make some plays as well.
Do you agree with the premise that they're way better off going to L.A. to play the Rams than going back to Philly or to Detroit?
Yeah, that's a tough trip going all the way cross country. But I guess if you'd rather have your druthers, you'd rather play the Rams, I guess. You know, they have a very young defense, and their offensive line's not protecting Matthew very well, but they're running the ball pretty good. They have some familiarity with Philly. They played them twice, and they beat them once. So they have some confidence that they can beat Philadelphia. Obviously, Hurts didn't play the last 3 quarters, but still, a win's a win. Any game's going to be tough on the road. But I think from a matchup standpoint, I would guess the Rams would be probably – I would pick the Rams if I had to pick other than Philadelphia at Philadelphia. That's just my choice.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jay. It feels like, to me, you know, whoever they get matched up, I don't see them being a favorite come postseason time. But we'll see when we get there. Big picture NFL stuff here. It was a pretty interesting weekend. Saquon Barkley, Jay, is in a position right now where if he runs for 101 yards in the finale against the Giants, he gets the rushing record. If you were the head coach in this situation, are you pushing to get your guy the record, or are you preserving health for the postseason?
This is something you got to communicate with your team, because this is a big deal. These big guys up front really want this, I'm sure. I'm sure Saquon would love to get it at the Giants. But it's also very important for those guys to be healthy in the first playoff game, because, you know, I've been part of teams in Cincinnati and Philadelphia that, you know, you play that last game and you get banged up a little bit, then you play on a Saturday, the next week on the road or whatever it is, and you're not quite a full tank of gas. So if you have the ability to sit some of your key players and get them full tank of gas for your first playoff game, it's very beneficial. However, this is a big deal, man. The rushing title's been around for a long time, and for him to have the ability to get that, I think it's up to the offensive line, and Saquon has the ultimate decision. Obviously, Sirianni has the ultimate decision, but yeah, that's a tough call. I don't really know what I would do, to be honest with you. That's a unique situation. I don't even know.
About to say, knowing the Eagles, they probably asked Big Dom to make the decision.
Yeah, Big Dom will call the shots. Yeah. How about the MVP vote that Jay Gruden has, if you had one? Would it go to Lamar or Josh Allen? Right.
It's Josh Allen, and this is a horse race right now. Josh Allen's got the lead. The finish line is very close, but Lamar is closing. He's got big strides coming on the outside, so we need the wire quick. I'm going to tell you that right now. Lamar is charging, and Burrow, if they get in the playoffs, hell, he's on the inside, closing a little bit too. So I've always been a big fan of what Jared Goff has done. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, but if it was my vote, it'd be Josh Allen.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, what would you do if you were the Vikings at quarterback with Darnold, McCarthy, and the scenario they've got unfolding now?
Well, I think Darnold has proven that he's worthy of getting a contract. If he doesn't get it there, he's going to get it somewhere else. There's five or six teams that are in dire need of a quarterback. And Sam Darnold winning 14 games at Minnesota. I know he's got a great supporting cast and a great play caller, but somebody's got to execute these plays. And he's made some big-time throws. So Darnold's going to get a contract. If I were Minnesota, I'd give it to him just because, you know, J.J. hasn't done any. He played one preseason game, got hurt. He's been on a shelf for the rest of the, you know.
So would you trade J.J. then, or would you keep him as well?
I keep J.J. another year and see where he's at and try to get him in the building. You can never have too many quarterbacks, really. They got him on a rookie deal, so it won't cost that much. But I would keep them both for another year, and that's at least what I would do. You know, I'm not familiar with J.J., what he did in training camp and his ability. But what Sam Darnold has done warrants him getting a contract. And I think Kevin O'Connell, you saw the way the team reacted when he walked in the locker room yesterday. So I think they're pretty much tied to Sam Darnold right now.
More on Darnold in the locker room. It just didn't look comfortable in that situation. It was real awkward, Jay. Like, he didn't know whether to be, you know, as hype as he should have been. It was a weird situation. I want to ask you about the pending decision this offseason that San Francisco is going to have to make when it comes to Brock Purdy. I continue to believe Kyle and San Francisco are going to be the first team that, you know, rotates quarterbacks every 5 years depending on their situation. I think they believe in their system, and they feel like that is what elevates the players, not the reverse. If you were in charge there in San Francisco, could you imagine opening up your checkbook and giving Brock Purdy $60 million per?
I mean, it's the going rate. I mean, I don't know what else you do. Who else they have? Who are you going to get? There's no quarterbacks in my mind that they're going to be able to get in the 15th pick of the draft or 18th pick, wherever they're going to pick. Free agency-wise, we just mentioned Sam Darnold's the top guy, and there's only a couple other guys maybe – maybe one of the Steeler quarterbacks will be free, but really, is that an upgrade from Kirk Cousins could be available? That's pretty costly. Kirk would be – I could see that happening because I know Kyle's always loved Kirk. That would be the most sense. If they didn't want to do Purdy, they could go ahead and get Kirk. But these teams that are messing around at the quarterback position, I know you might overpay a guy and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but the alternative is not very good. You better have a young kid or somebody that can play because the teams that have them are always in the playoffs and the teams that don't are always looking for – a draft pick.
Jay, could you see the Commanders going on a playoff run, messing around and beating the Rams, and then, you know, whether it's Minnesota or a banged up Detroit defense, like possibly winning a couple playoff games?
Yeah, for sure. The way Jaden's playing right now, the way they possess the football, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, I think they'll have trouble with some of the teams like Detroit, Minnesota, obviously, with the way they can throw the ball and the receivers that they have with Hockenson and J.J. and Addison and this Naylor guy. I mean, he's pretty damn good. It'd be a tough matchup for him. But, you know, the other side of Minnesota's offensive line isn't that great, so they can get some pressure. So there's some matchups to be had against all those teams that are in front of them. Washington's going to be able to score. They're just going to have to figure out a way to get some stops, create some turnovers, and hell yeah, they can win.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you giving us some time, my brother.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.